Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are. America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one. Two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza. Your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Well,
chin chin.
Chin chin. Bonjour, Judy.
Bonjour, merci. Croissant.
This would be our Thanksgiving Day special, our pre-Thanksgiving, our avant Thanksgiving special.
What's that crazy jazz in the background?
That's our theme song, I think. Okay. you, Judy, a woman who loves Thanksgiving so much that you're fleeing the country.
Yes. I mean, for a long time, I just had Thanksgiving at my house with friends. And then my friends started inviting their crappy-ass families with them. I had a baby changed on my bed. My friend's creepy brother came. So I just, I'm going to Paris now. I'm going to go see Michael Clark dance on Thursday night.
Michael Clark, your former collaborator.
Well, I gave him some tips.
All right, but we are today is going to be a great show. I'm feeling it today. We've got our friend Jean-Luc Ledoux, our favorite wine expert. We're going to do some wine tasting here.
And bonjour.
And the funniest woman I know, Jen Tolick, is going to join us. And we're going to talk
about howdy doody.
Hi, Jen. And have I seen you since election night?
I haven't seen you since the election night.
And how'd that work out?
Well, you know, I've been holed up in the fetal position drinking Pinot Grigio because my candidate didn't win.
jokes.
No, I've been having a big liberal gay party with myself. It's been fabulous.
Well, awesome. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year, Jen?
I am going to Kentucky from where I come.
And how does it go with your family? You bringing your fiancé?
I am bringing my fiancé. This is how it goes in my family. I'm slowly becoming an adult, much to my chagrin. So I'm having to do all of this like scheduling bullshit around the holidays, where I now have in-laws who I love dearly, and then I have my family. I also have a sort of adopted mother figure / sort of godmother, former teacher of mine who is very close. So I do Thanksgiving in Kentucky with her. Her name is Virginia. She's awesome. Hey, Jen Jen. And then I do Christmas Eve with my fiance's family, and then I do a belated Christmas in January in Hilton Head with my family.
Man, how's everybody in Kentucky? Everybody
it's pretty much just so I can stretch out the drinking.
Is everybody as long as possible. Your family in Kentucky? They welcome your fiance.
Oh yeah, they're fabulous.
For
I'm very
people
lucky.
In Radioland who aren't following the story, they should know that your fiance isn't a boy.
She is not a boy. She's not a boy. She has a lovely head of blonde hair.
It's only going to get worse when you guys start popping out kids.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, we're already getting the heat. I mean, we told my parents we were engaged via Skype because they're in Nashville where they live. And the first thing my mother did was make the cradling a baby sign language motion. And she was like, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. And we were like, then don't.
But I'd love you more if you gave me some grandbabies.
Yep, she's ready.
Do you have any potential sperm donors?
I mean, are you available, Mike?
I am. Mike is obviously
you have the bone structure of a prince.
Blue eyes.
So do I.
Marginally above average IQ.
Yep. We would have an incredibly acerbic and angry sapphire-eyed...
But funny.
...little child. But funny. Funny child.
But funny. All right, let's get to the wine drinking.
Jean-Luc, what is this delicious ambrosia we're sipping on right now?
Because the truth is we've already got the wine
that we drank.
but it's just breakfast wine, so it's okay.
It's great because, you know, I came with three wines, and now we've, you know, and then there were two. And
How long have you guys been in here?
Like 10 minutes.
5 minutes. But, you know, today, you know, like, I thank you for having me every year for the Thanksgiving a Lollapalooza, Winopalooza that we have here.
And you know, I love doing every Thanksgiving. I also do play my guitar at Jean-Luc's shop. We'll do his wines over on Washington Street. And yesterday, and man, I was fucked up when I got home last night. But that wasn't the wine. That was the bourbon.
That was the bourbon. You know, thanks God for Kentucky. We got bourbon.
Thank God.
Was that what you were drinking out of the bottle in that Facebook? Yeah,
that bottle looks like somewhere between I Dream of Jeannie
or a Bond bottle.
What bourbon?
It was some
Willet.
Nice.
Really cool stuff.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So where the hell is your Kentucky accent?
You know what? I beat it. I beat myself into submission when I was a young girl and attended theater school.
Oh, okay.
And learned to speak like the queen. No, but it comes out when my mom calls or if I get a little drunk. So give me 20 minutes.
All right.
If my mother calls and anyone...
Let's get her on the phone.
We can totally get her on the phone.
Okay, we'll get your mom on the phone at the break. But Jean-Luc, tell us what we're drinking. Tell us what Jen's getting drunk on.
Well, you know, like the wine that I brought this year is a simple Gamay. Gamay is a grape that's grown in the Beaujolais region of France. And, you know, I love Beaujolais around Thanksgiving. It's an easy wine to drink, obviously.
nobody's having a problem here.
No, nobody's having a problem so far.
It don't confront me, yo.
You know what? It's fruity. It's uncomplicated. It's friendly, just like Thanksgiving should be.
Right on. But you don't do the Nouveau Beaujolais.
I don't do the Nouveau Beaujolais.
What's up with that?
I don't like the hangover. I just have a problem with Beaujolais Nouveau, and it's nothing new. And there's some good versions of it that come out, but I've just been so burned on it through the decades that I just refuse to go near it.
It's so easy to drink. You end up drinking it like Coke or something.
Exactly. And then you wake up the following morning, you don't know who you are, in what bed you are, in actually what town you are. You know, so it's...
You have more exciting than
that's how
than
I
me.
Became pregnant with Mike's baby. That goddamn Beaujolais Nouveau.
I'm just picturing his face on a baby, like a screaming baby.
Oh my God.
Give Jen some more wine, Jean-Luc.
Please.
So do you even carry the Nouveau in your store?
We don't.
Ooh.
That's close. You know, I mean, I love this wine. This tastes almost like a Nouveau. It's called Les Raisins.
It is. I mean, to me, it's very friendly. It's breakfast wine, I say lovingly.
It's breakfast wine. It's called Les Raisins. You know, that's the kind of wine you could drink under the shower instead of your daily beer.
Oh, no. He doesn't even know what to say. You'd have to get a sippy cup, though.
Jesus Christ. After the wine testing, I was drinking bourbon in the shower last night
just to try to come down.
To try to sober up. Yeah.
So this Beaujolais that we're having right now is called Les Raisins Gaulois, which means the Gallic grapes. And it's made by one of the top estate in Beaujolais, which is called Domaine Lapierre. It's a non-vintage wine. It's not one of their most famous wine, but I just love it. And I just love the label. It's actually the picture on the label looks almost like you.
Well, I think we're going to put all these wines up on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
On the Mike
absolutely.
And Judy Facebook
I do like
page.
This, though. Just oh, yeah. A drunk guy.
An uncanny resemblance.
Squeezing the grapes right into his
But, you
mouth.
Know, this wine just makes you want to, like, have a picnic.
Exactly. It's a simple wine, you know, and what I love about it, it works at every level. You can start the celebration of Thanksgiving with it, and then move on to like maybe some bigger wines, or you can just go with it through the whole way.
Yeah, this is good. This is nice and easy. So what's next on the agenda here, Jean-Luc, on these wines? I think we have is the Zinfandel next?
Well, you need to finish your glass first.
Okay, we need to finish. We don't have a lot of glasses here at Roberta's. So we've got to like reuse.
Oh, Jesus, guys. I sure does know my stretches.
Yeah.
What are you going to drink in Kentucky?
All right, so...
Bourbon, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Four Roses single barrel.
Nice.
Ooh.
That's my jam right there. That's my party.
Well, Jean-Luc's been getting me into trouble lately with these very boutique-y, small batch bourbons. That Breckenridge, that was what we were drinking.
Oh, the Breckenridge is great. It's one of the highest elevation, I think it's the highest elevation distillery in the world.
Now, I'm a purist, like I'm guessing you are, Jen, because it's not from Kentucky, so it shouldn't be called bourbon.
Right? Uh-oh.
Oh, is it a Tennessee whiskey?
Yeah, no, it's because Colorado.
Colorado.
I'll tell you what, though, it tastes like Kentucky.
I'm sorry, any state that has more yoga mats per capita is not able to say they make bourbon.
They're soon going to have more than yoga mats per capita in Colorado.
Well, no argument. That's why I'm throwing it out. I thought it was actually illegal to call anything bourbon that wasn't made in Kentucky.
Like champagne.
They changed it, though. I don't know who they are. But nobody in Kentucky. I guarantee you that. If you tell that to my papa, let me tell you, you would get a whipping. He'd put a hitch in your giddy up for 8 days.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Speed Rock bourbon, you know. I mean, I would never drink vodka from the well. I mean, like, no fucking way, right?
Bourbon is this one category of alcohol in America that it doesn't have to be expensive to be great, to be fantastic.
That's what I'm saying.
There are so many great bourbon that you can find in a liquor store for like $15, $16, $17. Well, they're just like great. It's just great stuff.
There's a minimum, you know, requirement for it to be bourbon. I think it's got to be at least 2 years old age, mm-hmm. right? So obviously, it's straight whiskey. It's not like vodka. You can just throw anything and everything in there and call it vodka.
Oh, vodka is such BS. It's all vodka. Is all the money that you know, 95% of what you pay for a bottle of vodka is promotion.
Yeah.
The rest, you know, it's nothing. It's made from potatoes, for God's sake.
And like old sweaters. And I mean, there's no rules. Just put anything in vodka, right? It's like neutral grain. You can throw.
Actually, old sweaters could taste better than
some of the vodka. You know, I'll tell you what, seriously, if I'm on a date and the woman I'm with says, I'll have a vodka tonic and she doesn't call what vodka she wants, okay, that's strike one.
Oh, Mike.
Strike two is, do you have Stoli Marshmallow?
No, if she orders a Cosmopolitan.
No, seriously, Judy, because if you're going to order some vodka from the well, it's obvious that the fabulous dinner I'm about to invite you to is going to be lost on you.
But maybe she's not a drinker,
How do you get to be 30 years old and not know not to drink well vodka?
I'm not sick. I don't really drink vodka, so I have no stake in this game, but I think you're being a little harsh on these ladies. And I happen to bet if she was hot enough, you wouldn't care if she sipped, like, what is the crappy Polish vodka?
Sobieski?
Yeah, right out of the bottle with a straw. You'd be fine with it.
Oh, you know, that's going to take seconds. You know?
That's attitude. Yeah, okay. At least that's some attitude. Look, I said strike one, you know, you can come back from that. You know, lots of people hit home runs with two strikes on them.
You're a very forgiving date, Mike.
So I've been told. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's up, John Luke?
What is this? Oh, wait.
Is this the Ridge Zen?
Not yet. We kept that for the end. If you guys are nice, huh?
It smells delicious.
This is.
Teach us how to taste.
So
okay, swirling.
So you
can't
swirl the
see
wine
this.
In the glass. You can't see this, but we're going to try to have like a play-by-play action going on the radio. Nice, you swirl the wine in the glass, and what it does, you know, it aerates it, and it liberates and frees the aromas that are in the wine. Then you smell it. Don't make that face. And then you taste it, and then you swirl it in your mouth. You bring more air because it really opens up the wine while you're tasting it. This is a Gigondas. Wow. It's a Gigondas. Wow. It's that's a 2010. Sexy. It's from the Southern Rhone. And if I just can give you like a little wine tip today, if you like wine, anything from the Southern Rhone, and that means Côte du Rhône, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, Gigondas, Vaqueras, etc. This is the vintage of a generation for this wine.
2010.
This is 2010 is the single greatest vintage for the Southern Rhone of my lifetime.
Wow. And I'm a big fan of the Côte d'Or.
That's a big superlative. That's a,
yeah,
that's
no,
a
it's I I truly believe in this vintage, and I've been telling people that I talk to about wine since January of this year, like how great this vintage is, and now like you know, wine critics are starting to come around to the idea that this is that they do believe also that this is the greatest vintage.
Now we swirled it around, which nobody could see. But what about this decanting stuff? Is that necessary? Does it make it?
Decanting for wine is very good. No, I mean, there are two reasons why you should decant a wine, or why you could decant a wine. You can decant an old wine, you know, and you use like a light source, like a candle that you put under the bottle. And that process is to separate the lees from the clean wine.
Oh.
Now, one thing that may be less known, like for both white And red wines, you can decant very young wines, and that's to aerate them. You know, like when you age wine in a cellar over a period of 5, 10, 20, 50 years, you know, there is a very little bit of oxygen that comes into the wine over time, and it sees red really soften up the tannins and makes the wine change from a product that has primary like fruit aromas to a wine that has like much more complex aromas after a few years. So what you do with young wines when you pour it into a decanter is like you try to speed up that process.
Okay.
So any wine, and from like the simplest wine, and I'm not talking about Boone's Farm here, but like, you know, wine that's made from grapes, is... I'm not even sure what Boone's Farm is.
I think it's like rubbing alcohol.
You didn't grow up here, did you, Jean-Luc?
No, I did not.
Boone's Farm
was Beaujolais.
Well, I find that Boone's Farm pairs particularly well with Frisbees and Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And ladies with Looney Tunes tattoos.
Yeah. Or it leads to Looney Tunes
tattoos. Boone's Farm and the Mad Dog 2020. You know, on that note, maybe we should take a break and pour Joe, the engineer, some more wine.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, why don't you roll some music? It's Mike and Judy here on our Thanksgiving special with Jean-Luc and Gentilic. We'll be right back after this.
I'm just a small town boy with big ideas. Yeah, I'm going to be a great big star.
You're listening to Alka Hollywood by The Ranch Hands on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
They're gonna see a Thunder Boy go to town and make it good. So I packed up my bags, threw them in my truck, and I headed way out west. I didn't want to be just a small town drunk, no, I wanted to be the best.
We're back
at Roberta's in front of the awkward date table for show two that has not been an awkward date. It's really annoying me.
I love the awkward dates here. It's sort of like, it's, you know, this is sort of like Foucault, right? It's like, who are the watchers and who is being watched here behind our window in the studio behind Roberta's? But I think this could be an awkward date over here. These four guys seem to be dating each other. All right, we're back with our wine tasting and our Thanksgiving Day special. You're fleeing the country. you're gonna have Thanksgiving with friends, right? Mm-hmm. I'm off to Chicago. My plan was to have a quiet Thanksgiving with my yeah, I know.
Yeah,
right, with my brother and his lovely wife and my niece, whom I adore and want to spend more time with. And
what's happening instead, Mike?
Well, my mom got wind that I was going to be there and called me up and said, "I can't wait to see you on Thanksgiving." I was like, "I didn't know you were going to be in Chicago for Thanksgiving." Well, when I heard that you were coming, of course I'm coming. So
that's kind of sweet.
It is sweet, but the dynamic has shifted a little bit because the plans to get drunk and talk about her kind of went south.
I find that announcing one's holiday plans, which I foolishly did today via Facebook, I was like, "Oh, T-minus 18 hours, I'll be in KY." And then, you know, it's like all of the friends I love dearly who were like, "Great, got to get a drink. Let's have coffee. Want you to meet my new baby. Hey, come over and touch my new baby. Let's have pictures of my new baby." And it's like, I love all of these babies. And I love the babies. They're all great. But I was just like, shit, I'm there for like 3 days. And my main objective, to be frank with you, is to drink my weight and white wine. So I'm just going to have to drunkenly handle the babies, which is nothing new for me.
Well, and then probably nothing new for your friends.
And the bourbon kills the germs.
You're just right. Put pillows around you.
Disinfect it.
Swath them in bourbon.
Speaking of disinfectant, may I tell a quick 5 second story?
So yeah, it's with that leading.
Lindsay and I have been renting our spare room via Airbnb, which is a cool thing, right? It's sort of like temporary subletting. We've been saving up for the wedding, so it's been great. And we've met a lot of cool people. We've got people from France that just left, people from Montreal, people from Spain, yada, yada, yada. We have had this young couple from Montreal staying with us, and we hadn't really had much of an exchange. They sort of kept to themselves. And we came home the other night, and Lindsay looked at me, and she said, "Jen, do you smell vomit?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And
neither of you had thrown up.
Neither of us had thrown up, and they recently had apparently done a bit of drinking. So that, I believe, is the end of our Airbnb experience.
I'm surprised it lasted that long.
I was like, I'm done. Nope, no more. That's it.
My next door neighbors were renting out their apartment through Airbnb, and twice at 2 a.m, I had people trying to get into my apartment. I'm laying in bed asleep, which is kind of close to the door, and the door starts shaking, and I flipped out. I thought, you know, I almost called the cops, but it was, you know, drunk Airbnbers. I think it's great in theory, but I don't think it's so great in practice.
I think it's great for young people who are still in that communal living mindset.
And who live in buildings filled with other young people.
Yes, exactly.
Mindset.
If like you're living in the McKibben Lofts, exactly. But so let's just go ahead and put a kibosh on
who,
any
who don't
Airbnb.
Fear death like, and
or vomit.
Or strangers vomit all over your beautifully cleaned bathroom.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. What are we drinking now, Jean-Luc? We're up to round three.
We're up to round three. I mean, those bottles are flying. You know, it's been crazy around here. I just want to mention the name. I just want to mention the name of the wine that we had, the preceding wine, which was Gigondas, so which is a village right next to Châteauneuf-du-Pape. It's made from a grape called Grenache. Mm-hmm. And the name of the wine is Domaine du Grappillon d'Or. And it's a cuvée 1806, which is the year that they bought the estate. Our next wine is one of the great American estate of all time. It's a winery called Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
They're based in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. So, but this is a Zinfandel. It's from a vineyard called the Buccignani Vineyard, and it's from Sonoma County.
Now, I know you love the Zinfandel, and you love this winery and the provenance of this New World wine. In California, so you know, I was explaining yesterday when you were doing the wine tasting, and you love Zinfandel at Thanksgiving. I know you do. It's big, it's crowd pleasing, it's not terribly expensive, it's perfect for having a lot of people over.
I love Zinfandel, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe you should tell me why.
Zinfandel is the great American grape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though it does not come from the United States originally, but it's been planted in America since the 19th century. I mean, a lot of immigrants from Italy planted that grape. There's a lot of very old vine vineyard in this country. And it really produces wine that I think are fantastic and age beautifully.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, I think Zinfandel is kind of a bad reputation because people know of white Zinfandel, which is like blush, and Americans who don't understand.
And in a box.
Americans don't understand pink wine.
I think
personally,
you know,
I'd like to take credit for making pink wine popular in America. Rosé and Rosado. That was me. Over the last few years, notice how popular Rosé has become in the last 5 years?
Sparkling Rosé.
Although I think the arc is starting to go down on Rosé. I think the Rosé fever
I'm over it.
The pink fever?
The pink fever is over.
You know, when I was living in Spain, it's all we drank during the summer was Rosado, you know, the pink wine all summer long, and the Rosato, the Italian version, and Rosé from Provence, especially. I love nice, dry pink wine. And I, you know, sort of, I mean, it's a trick that I learned, you know, living in Europe, to sound perfectly pretentious, but to come back, it just wasn't popular, and people would look at me like I was crazy buying cold pink wine all summer long, between June and September. That's all I want to drink.
For some reason, like I think Rosé has peaked, and I think Zinfandel today is considered a very serious grape by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, this stuff is terrific.
This is great stuff. And I mean, this is from the 2007 vintage, which is one of the great vintage of all time in California. 40, 50-year-old vines grapes go into this wine. And Ridge really, you know, is a true American wine. You know, the winery was founded by four engineers from Stanford University in 1962. It's been made by a gentleman called Paul Draper in 69. Actually, for the little story, you know, there was a very famous tasting in Paris in 1976 where American wines beat the French wines, and Ridge was one of those wines.
There was a film made about that, a terrible film called Bottleneck.
I know.
And I saw it in the theater.
Oh my God. You spent $7.50 for this?
More than that, baby.
You should have bought a bottle of cheap wine.
I know. You're right. I should have bought some.
Bottles of Boone's Farm.
Three bottles. The first time I ever got drunk was on a combination. Are you ready for this? I'd like a drum roll, please. A combination of Kahlua and Boone's Farm mini bottles in a six-pack because they make such a thing.
Wow.
I have a friend who's close to my age. Who's still her drink? She's Asian, so she's got the Asian thing where she can't drink. But her drink of choice when she does choose to drink is pineapple and Kahlua. She can only drink half of one, so there's no vomiting. But it's just the most repulsive.
What did you grow up on drinking in New Jersey?
I'm Irish. Everything.
Well, we used to drink Tango sometimes. Whatever we can get someone to buy us, or you know, Tango is like pre-mixed screwdrivers. In like a pint flask.
I'm sure I've shotgunned one of those at some point.
When I was in high school, I had this really bad fake ID, which was my friend's mom's driver's license because they didn't have pictures then. So I was Susan Goldberg, 40. And I had just seen Rude Boy. So I went into the liquor store and I started saying, I decided a British accent would make them serve me. Uh-huh, so I was like, Susan Goldberg, 40, was like, I want a fucking pint of vodka, mate. I was just like, what? And I just kept going like, you fucking cunt, I need my fucking vodka. And he finally gave it to me just so I would go away.
I moved to London right as I turned 21, which I thought was such a sham because it didn't matter. I was like, I can drink here anyway. This is bullshit. But I did, on my 21st birthday, I was still in Kentucky before I went to London. And I worked at this shitty Kentucky Irish. There's a very popular thing in Kentucky which people don't know about, which is Irish pubs. They're all over.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
An Irish pub, you say?
An Irish pub called Shenanigans. I worked there. You could smoke on the floor. I'm sorry, Mom, you don't want to hear this, but I would smoke Marlboro Lights while serving people their beer. And it was Southern Irish rednecks. So it was like Patty Moynihan, who was from like, you know, fucking Bullitt County, Kentucky. And he'd be like, hey, baby, let me get one of them Guinness and just a shot of JMO for me and Becky. And I would go like wear what I wanted, and I would come over and smoke Marlboro Lights. And that's where I had my 21st birthday. And we drank oatmeal cookies, speaking of Kahlua, which is Bailey's Kahlua. And I think, what's it called? Goldschlager.
for a touch of class.
Yes.
Yeah, you are the Southern Belle.
You're welcome.
I love the Shenanigan family. I think they're from County Cork.
I'm sure they are. They're from Dingle, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Susan Goldberg?
Yes, Susan Goldberg.
From County Cork.
Susan Goldberg with a Cockney accent. Susan Goldberg doesn't say cunt.
Hello, I'm Susan. I've come for me drink.
Susan Goldberg doesn't say cunt.
She doesn't
which is
in
the
real
name
life.
Of Which so is the name of Judy's memoir.
Do they serve you?
Yeah, he wanted me to go. He was just like, here, and don't ever come back here again.
I love it. It used to be so easy. I
mean, that wasn't easy.
Like a store like Perth Amboy or something where I'd get liquor. They would have served a 12-year-old.
Yeah, this guy wouldn't, except for I was so...
Hot Jewish babe.
Yeah, 16, but 40.
Hi, I'm Susan Goldberg, and I'm from England.
How old are you? 40. A little lower, I think. 40.
40.
Geez, this half hour flew by. Go figure. Three bottles of wine and too close to the sun.
I hope all of our listeners have a really beautiful Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that holiday time is a strenuous time, and that, my friends, is why we drink. All right, for Jean-Luc, tell everybody where we can find you and where your store is. Everybody should come by Jean-Luc's Wine Shop.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Well, thank you, French.
Drink a lot of wine.
We're thankful to have such great guests.
And my wine shop is called Lodus Wines, and it's located at 600 Washington Street in the West Village of New York City.
Look for the giant picture of Bob Dylan swigging the Chianti on the wall.
Ooh.
And make sure you come when Mike Edison comes and plays his dirty, dirty blues at the shop.
It's my favorite gig of the year. I love it.
It's my favorite tasting of the year when you
come.
How
the fuck did who gives me a gig at a liquor shop? Okay, that's fucked up.
A crazy man.
So, Jen, what are you thankful for this year?
I am thankful for Ridge Zinfandel. I am thankful for 1950s blues music, and I am thankful for Loose Women.
All right.
I'm with that.
I like the Loose Women part.
1950s blues music, Loose Women, and I'm thankful for having the co-hostess with the mostest, Judy McGuire.
Oh, back at you.
Susan Goldberg.
Susan Goldberg, all right, well, 40.
Well, Judy, bon voyage. You're off to Paris for Thanksgiving.
Merci.
Okay, it's your it's your way of saying, fuck you, Mitt Romney, I'm leaving. I'm going to Paris, where the Republicans all love their favorite place in the world, France. For Mike and Judy.
Gonna have some freedom fries.
For Jen and Jean-Luc and Joe the Engineer. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody have a happy day.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.